Well, within me, I want to first say I'm glad to see each one of you tonight, and within me there's this kind of an element of excitement, I guess you would call it. I just felt blessed to be able to see the things that I saw the other day as I was reading in the scriptures, and I couldn't help but recognize the song that we sang tonight goes along with that message, the great and marvelous are his works and the things that he does. And I was reading in the area where Christ was born. I know Christmas is past as we see it today, but there are so many different things that we can glean from those scriptures that I want to take a look at a few of them there. And so I'm slowly turning to the second chapter of Matthew. And I will tell you what my title of my sermon, which I don't feel like is really mine, is. I guess I should do that first, and then I'm going to end with that title. And that title is, Do You Know the Voice of God? And you'll understand as I go along, I think it'll become very, very clear. Maybe too clear, I don't know. Actually, I want to back up to the first chapter of Matthew, because Mary was busy doing the things that women do, and there was this voice that came to her, that not just a voice, but a personage that came to her and told her that she was going to have a son. And of course, she was not ignorant of biology, and she says, how can that happen? I don't have a husband. And the angel told her that it would be by the gift of the Holy Ghost. And she believed. You know, in those days, when a woman was found to be pregnant and not be married, it was a pretty grievous offense. And so when Joseph, in the first chapter there in the 19th verse, it says, and then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, pardon me, and not willing to make her a public example, was mindful to put her away privately. He apparently had a little bit of love for her still, and he was not willing to have her stoned. But he didn't want to be tied to this woman that was with child. And today we don't perhaps give so much heed to those kinds of things, but it was a big deal, particularly under the Mosaic Law. And it says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Well, that angel came to him in a dream, and we all have dreams, and sometimes we ponder them, and what did that mean? You know, and other times we know it just, you know, we ate too many green beans the night before. But he listened, and this is what happened. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, you know, he couldn't sleep any longer after having this dream, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she brought forth her first son and called his name Jesus. How did he know it was the voice of God? How did he know that? You know, he had all these other elements to this situation that were contrary in his mind and way of thinking from being from a Mosaic or Hebrew lineage. And it hears this angel come and says, go marry her. And it says he got up and did it. Well, there's several others like this, and I'm going to read a few more of them. We'll move on over to the second chapter. And of course, you know the scenario. They were in Bethlehem, and there were wise men who came, and they're saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" That wasn't such a big deal, but Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again." Pardon me. You know the rest of that story. They went and they found him. The star led him right to that location. But then in the 12th verse it says this, "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." How did the wise men know that it was an angel of God that was instructing them? How did they know that? "When they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. Be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod." And I ask you the same question again. How did Joseph know that this was the voice of God telling him to do these things? You know, perhaps I could come up with all kinds of reasoning and say, well, Joseph didn't have that many things and that many possessions. He didn't have to worry about selling them. You know, he had a rented house. He just left the house and took his tools and went off to Egypt. You know, it was an easy move for him to make. For me, it'd be much harder because, you know, I got all these things I got to dispose of before I could make a move like that and run off to Egypt. How did he know the voice of God? And I probably can't answer that for you. But maybe we can find some ways to know. Verse 19, "But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life.' And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Ericleus did reign in Judah in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee." And of course, that fulfilled another prophecy that he would come from Galilee. And yet, that time he had heard the voice of God, but he almost obeyed it to the T, didn't he? But not quite. His own fears set in, and he did what he wanted to do. Let's go to Luke for a moment. There's so many of these, and it just, like I said, it kind of thrills me to read through these, because in each instance, God spoke and people listened and they understood. 2nd chapter of Luke. Verse chapter, verse 8. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest and on the earth, peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And they that had seen it, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary just pondered it in her heart. Well, perhaps for the shepherds it was a little bit easier. No, it wasn't just one angel that came and spoke to them. There was this whole host of angels. The sky lit up with angels singing praises. They couldn't help but believe, could they? Well, not always are things so brilliant in the sky and so outlandish, shall I say, that you know what's going on. Let's read over in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the customs of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now, Simeon came just because there's that little prompting inside that said, you need to go to the temple today. And perhaps that same small voice spoke to him and said, that's the child right over there. And he trusted that voice and he praised God. Verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow for 84 years. A widow for 44 years. 84 years. Yeah, 84 years, pardon me. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. And she came in that instant and gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. How did she know? Well, you know, there were men that had things told to them and they didn't like what they heard. I'm not going to read it, but Gideon was one of those. You know, he was told to take an army and go redeem Israel. And You might say he was just a country boy. He says, I'm not a soldier. I'm paraphrasing, I know you know that. But he was told, no, this is what you're to do. Well, he doubted, and he put a fleece on the ground. He said, if the ground is dry in the morning and the fleece is wet, God may have spoken. But he still doubted. And so he put that fleece out there again, and he said, if the ground is wet all around it and the fleece is dry, God must have spoken. And still he said, how can I do this? I have no money. You know, you have to pay soldiers. They don't do it for nothing. Granted, they work for almost nothing, but they still need some pay. They got to survive. And so he tested the spirit. And the thing that I find interesting in that example is that when it was the voice of God, he didn't become discouraged and say, well, you know, this man doesn't want to do it, so I'll find another. He persisted with him because he wanted Gideon to do the things that he had asked of him. Well, once in a while, there are men that God speaks to that aren't necessarily what you would call righteous men. And they too somehow know when God has spoken. Nebuchadnezzar was one of those men. If you turn to the second chapter of Daniel with me in the 31st verse. Perhaps I should paraphrase a little of this just to refresh our memories beforehand. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he woke up and he knew he'd had a dream, but he couldn't remember it. You know, I know none of you ever have that problem. I surely don't, because I can't remember any of them hardly. But there was something that was eating on him. He knew that dream had importance. What was it? Well, he's a man of authority, so he thinks, I'll get all the Chaldeans and everyone else that's supposed to be wise. I'll call them in. They'll figure this out and we'll move on. The Chaldeans and all the other wise men of his realm had no idea. Their response was, well, King, tell us the dream and we'll tell you the interpretation. And he says, I don't have the dream. And if you can't tell me the interpretation, you're dead men. He was going to destroy every last one of them. But Daniel heard about it. He being one of the wise men, but he apparently had not been called yet. He found out it when they were coming to destroy them. And so he requested an opportunity. Shall I say, he requested an audience with the king. And said, give me time, and I will provide an answer through God, or from God. And he and his companions prayed and fasted, and God gave the answer. Daniel's speech to the king was rather eloquent, and I'm not going to read all of it because it was pretty long, but in the 31st verse, it says, thou, O king, sawest and beheld a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image head was of fine gold, and his breast and his arms of silver, and his belly and his thighs of brass, and his legs of iron, and his feet part iron and part of clay. And I know that all of you have heard about this before, haven't you? Thou sawest till that a still, thou, I'll start over. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron and the clay, the brass and the silver and the gold, broken to pieces together, and become like the chaff of the summer in the threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wherefore, and wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the fields and the fowls of the heavens hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them. Thou art this head of gold. And after these shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong of iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and the iron that breaketh all these things shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as for the toes of the feet, were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with the miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. Do you have any idea how many years that covers? To the beginning, just the beginning of this point in time when that stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands and began to roll forth in the earth, which we understand to be the time when he restored his church upon the earth. We're looking at 2,454 years, or 55, depending on how you want to count it. How did Nebuchadnezzar know that that dream was significant? And did he need to know what it was about? And I would assure you, he didn't understand after he was told. And yet you and I are privileged to live in a day when that stone is rolling through the earth and consuming it. And we're privileged to be a part of it. But how do you know that that's true? Well, Joseph wasn't the only one that was warned to flee, and I'll not be able to cover all of the events that have taken place in the scriptures where men have listened to God and obeyed his command and done mighty things with their lives. But turn with me to 1 Nephi for a moment in the first chapter, verse 17. to 27. Behold, I make an abridgment of the record of my father upon the plates which I have made with mine own hands. Wherefore, after that I have abridged the record of my father, then will I make an account of my own life. Therefore, I would that ye should know that after the Lord had shewn so many marvelous things unto my father Lehi, yea, concerning the destruction of Jerusalem, and behold, he went forth among the people and began to prophesy and to declare unto them concerning these things which he had both seen and heard. And it came to pass that the Jews did mock him. Well, what's new? You know, they've mocked the prophets from time beginning, and yet here we go again. Because of the things which he testified of them, for he truly testified of their wickedness and their abominations, and he testified of the things which he saw and heard, and also the things which he read in the book, manifested plainly of the coming of a Messiah, and also the redemption of the world. And when the Jews heard these things, they were angry with him, yea, even as with the prophets of old, whom they had cast out and stoned and slain, and they also sought his life, that they might take it away. That behold, I, Nephi, will shew unto you that the tender mercies of the Lord are over all them whom he hath chosen, because of their faith, to make them mighty even unto the power of deliverance. For behold, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto my father, yea, even in a dream, and saith unto him, Blessed art thou, Lehi, because of the things which thou hast done, and because thou hast been faithful and declared unto this people these things which I commanded thee. Behold, they seek to take away thy life. And it came to pass that the Lord commanded my father, even in a dream, that he should take his family and depart into the wilderness. And it came to pass that he was obedient unto the word of the Lord. Wherefore he did as the Lord commanded him. He didn't do more than the Lord told him. He didn't do less. He did as the Lord commanded him. And you'll recall, if you've read, and I know most, virtually everyone here who can read has, you know that he said he took his family as the Lord commanded. They took provisions in their tents and they departed. How did he know it was the voice of God who commanded him to do this? I could go and read of Helaman, or pardon me, of Alma, how he knew from the waters of Mormon to depart and travel into the wilderness with quite a large group of people, and how that they camped for and rejoiced that they had escaped, and then they were told to travel on immediately, that he would stop the armies in their valley, that valley that they had come to. But I'll not take the time. I'll encourage you to go read it. Example after example after example in our word that we have available to us, where God has spoken and men knew the voice of God and they responded to that voice. Third chapter of Helaman, verse 94. Again, I'll need to preface this a little bit, because if I were to read all the occurrences, we'd be here most of the night, possibly. And I would enjoy it, but I don't want to bore everybody. But Nephi, being a man of God, had been out teaching the people, and he came home, and when he came into his own city, he saw all this wickedness around him, and it distressed him sorely. And I don't know what compelled him to climb up on a tower, but that's where he went to pray, someplace that was out of the way, perhaps. Perhaps it was his quiet place. Maybe it was his wilderness. I don't know the reason that he went up on a tower, but that's where he went. And he lifted up his voice to God and in prayer, begging God to be merciful to this wicked people that were his family. And people began to mock him and make fun of him. And of course, there was a whole series of events where he, to convince the people that the things that he was telling them about their wickedness was true, he said, go to the judge's chambers and there you're going to find your chief judge dead. And when you find him dead, hope I don't get this wrong, I read it just the other day, but you know, I don't have a perfect memory anymore. So go to his brother's house, see what you find out. Actually, I think it was another group of people that was sent to do that. As I recall, those first five men were astonished in what they had seen, and they fell down, and others came and found them and the judge dead, and they hauled them off to jail. And they were there for a number of days. And still people are harassing Nephi. And he told him, go to the chief judge's brother and ask him if he killed his brother. And he's going to say no. Ask him if he knows me. And he's going to say, no, I don't know Nephi. I haven't conspired with him to do anything. And then you ask him, what's this blood on your coat? And he's not going to know what to say. And just as the things that Nephi told them to do happened precisely as he told them, and because of that, there were some that began to understand that, you know, this prophet of God knew what he was talking about, and they were convinced. But there's always those, it's, you know, you're not going to tell them they're evil. You can't do it. Back to verse 94. Perhaps I've told you some of it that I had already rehearsed, but I will read it. It says, behold, I say unto you that this is because I have testified unto you that you might know concerning this thing, even for a witness unto you that I did know of the wickedness and abominations which are among you. And because I have done this, you say that I have agreed with a man that he should do this thing. Yea, because I shoot unto you this sign, you are angry with me and seek to destroy my life. And now behold, I will shew unto you another sign, and see if you will in this thing seek to destroy me. Behold, I say unto you, go to the house of Seantum, which is the brother of Sezorim, and say unto him, hath Nephi the prophet, pretended prophet, which doth prophesy so much evil concerning this people, agree with thee in which ye have murdered Sezorim, which is thy brother? And behold, he shall say unto you, nay. And you shall say unto him, have ye murdered your brother? And he shall stand with fear and wist not what to say. And behold, he shall deny unto you, and he shall make as if he were astonished. Nevertheless, he shall declare unto you that he is innocent. But behold, you shall examine him, and you shall find blood upon the skirts of his coat. And when you have seen this, you shall say, from whence cometh this blood? Do we not know that it is the blood of your brother? And then shall he tremble and shall look pale, even as if death had come upon him. And then shall you say, because of this fear and this paleness which hath come upon your face, behold, we know that thou art guilty. Then shall greater fear come upon him, and then shall he confess unto you and deny no more that he hath done this murder. And then shall he say unto you that I, Nephi, knew nothing concerning this matter, save it were given unto you by the power of God. Here's an evil man that even knows that God has spoken and revealed these things to these people. And then shall you know that I am an honest man and that I am sent unto you from God. And it came to pass that they went and did even according as Nephi had said unto them. And behold, the words which he had said were true, for according to his words he did deny, and according to his words he did confess. And he was brought to prove that he himself was the very murderer, insomuch that five were set at liberty, and also was Nephi. And there was some of the Nephites which believed the words of Nephi, and there were some also which believed because of the testimony of the five, for they had converted while they were in prison. And now there were some among the people which said that Nephi was a prophet, and there was others which said, behold, he is a god, for except he was a god, he could not know all these things. For behold, he hath told us the thoughts of our hearts, and also hath told us the things even he hath brought unto our knowledge, the true murderer of our chief judge. And it came to pass that there arose a division among the people, insomuch that they divided hither and thither and went their ways, leaving Nephi alone as he was standing in the midst of them. And it came to pass that Nephi went his way towards his own house, pondering upon the things which the Lord had shown him. You know, even he was amazed at what God had done. How did he know the voice of God? How did he know? And it came to pass that as he was thus pondering, being much cast down because of the wickedness of the people of Nephi, their secret works of darkness and their murders and their plunderings and all manner of iniquities, and it came to pass that he was thus pondering in his heart, behold, a voice came unto him, saying, blessed art thou, Nephi, for those things which thou hast done, for I have beheld that thou hast with unweariness declared the word which I gave unto thee unto this people. And thou hast not feared them, and hast not sought thine own life, but hast sought my will, and to keep my commandments. And now because thou hast done this with such unwaveringness, behold, I will bless thee forever. And I will make thee mighty in word, and in deed, and in faith, and in works, yea, even that all things which shall be done unto thee according to thy word, for thou shalt not ask that which is contrary to my will. I wish there were time to read more of it. It's beyond my ability to express the joy that there is when you know the voice of God. When you're able to see his hand at work. When you're able to be a part of it. I sometimes wonder if even Daniel fully understood what he did for Nebuchadnezzar. The whole plan for 2,500 years, or maybe more, laid out one piece at a time, what nations they were, how long they would last. All these things was given to him. And so when you find places where it says that, and I believe Nephi, the first Nephi, was one of those who was privileged to see all things until the end. He saw all things until the end. Nothing was left out for the man because of his faith. And when our faith is strong, we know the voice of God. And he can speak to us. He can use us to accomplish his will. In this coming year, there is much to be accomplished. I don't know what it's going to be. Will you know the voice of God and follow his will?